all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
And if you can hear me over the howling wind, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, April 3rd. Another, I have to use finger quotes today, beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, where it's cold, it's windy. We've been enduring this winter storm in the springtime. But wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, through the app, social media, or by podcast, we just hope you're driving safely out there. And again, there will be a warm-up. Spring is not too far away. Just going to hang in there a little bit longer. I got a question for you on this Wednesday. Do you appreciate how much work still lies ahead of us between now and November 5th? Because based on former President Trump's hateful screed in Green Bay last evening and some of last night's election results, there is still a lot of work to be done to remind our friends and neighbors not to abandon the angels of our better nature and the policies that are actually working for Wisconsin families, American businesses, and so on. So we'll talk all about that in and out throughout the show today, especially in our second hour with our friends from the Wisconsin Public Education Network, talking about the truly mixed bag of results that came in yesterday. But we'll cover more of that in the next couple of minutes here as well. Also ahead is our weekly climate check with Melissa Baldoff coming up in about 25 minutes or so. And we're going to talk about how it's basically going to be a summer of rebates. Again, when I talk about the policies that work for Wisconsin, I'm talking in this case about the Inflation Reduction Act and the investment in energy efficiency and the nearly $150 million that's going to come back to Wisconsin residents who make energy improvements in their homes or in their garages. And we'll review some of the options that can bring relief to the climate while also reducing your energy bill. And we'll talk to Todd Alba, who is on the road statewide, and his show comes to the Chippewa Valley later today, so we will visit with him about that as well. It's normally where I whip around the state and tell you what the temperatures are here, but given all the election results and sports results I was plugging in and everything, I can tell you it's 36 degrees up here on Lake Wissota. And other temperatures can't be far off it, including whatever the temperature is, whatever undisclosed temperature readout it says right now in Waukesha, Wisconsin, where we find Greg Bach standing by. Mr. Bach, do you have a thermometer there?
I do.
Oh, good. Don't make that face. he's like, I know a secret. How are things down there?
Down in Waukesha, it's windy, it is cold, and it's not like it's snowing, but it's not snowing. It's snowy. It's more annoying than anything. But yeah, it's chilly out. It's chilly out, which, you know, happy April 3rd.
Yep.
To the all who celebrate.
Hopefully. Yes.
Yeah, I looked at the forecast for the next few days, and it'll we're gonna get to spring and that word. I will say, just really quick, I was looking at the Kenosha election results, and one county board seat was decided by a vote.
A vote? Mm-hmm. See? Every vote matters.
Agreed. You know,
your vote matters there. How was the home opener for the Brewers?
Oh, my God. Pat, it was perfect. I mean, okay, so I'll make this very quick. It was raining, yes. And we knew that. We could see outside, raining. Got to the parking lot. They had that new parking system in place. They got rid of the old system where you pay someone before you get in. You know, you get a scan. And I think that system crashed. And about halfway through the game, they put up a big thing on the new 12,000 square foot sign. Well, almost 13,000 square foot sign.
Mm-hmm.
That said, everyone gets free parking.
Yay.
Christian Yelich hit a banger. Jackson Chirio came out. I mean, I wanted Jackson to hit a home run. I really wanted Willy Adames to hit a home run, but he didn't. But Jackson did great. The whole team did great. There was an energy and a vibe. The team won. We had a great time. It was really, it was a nice, nice home opener. And
how about for all of the reasons to cheer during the game? How about that cheer when Bob Uecker was introduced?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And man, I love Bob Uecker. I grew up with Bob Uecker. He's the voice of the Brewers always and forever. But I just want to be like, hey, Brewers, can you do me a solid? Can you win a World Series this year? So, because he'll retire the moment it happens.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And I'm just nervous because he's 90.
Mm-hmm. So. 90 and now starting his 54th season. Yep. Broadcasting Brewers baseball. There was a sellout crowd there, 41,658 plus, Greg. And Jackson Chourio singled in a run in his first plate appearance. It was with the bases loaded, but all he did was he just kept the merry-go-round going, because there were already one out singles by Reese Hoskins, Oliver Dunn, Bryce Terang. So Jackson Chourio steps up and, you know, gets a single as well with an RBI. So, you know, that's a good omen, because again, you're Milwaukee Brewers 4-0 right now.
4-0. And I can't believe the Pirates are 5-0. Like that is a massive turnaround between seasons. But all those analytics that are out there, having our guys on Matt and Aaron here talking about sports, they're all saying the same thing. You know, they have us finishing really close to the bottom or at the bottom. Like, let's do this.
Yeah.
Let's do
absolutely.
This.
Absolutely. Please do it. Do it for Uke, if nothing else. Meanwhile, while we're covering sports here at the 6-12, the Wizards beat the Bucks last night 117-113, despite Giannis getting another triple-double, 35 points, 15 boards, and 10 assists. But Milwaukee, from three-point range, shot 11 of 48, which, as you know, I am not Mr. Three-Pointer. I'd be fine if it went away tomorrow, and I can't imagine the frustration if I'd have watched that game and watched the Bucks miss 37 different 3-point shots. The Bucks are now 18-20 on the road, but they're still in second place in the Eastern Conference, and they're back home tonight. They will host the Memphis Grizzlies. The broadcast starts at 6:30 on Oshkosh Air Support, News from the Center and Richland Center, Lake Air and Amory, WRJN and Racine, and locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids. As for the Brewers, they continue their series against the Twins, game two. First pitch is at 12:10 this afternoon at American Family Field. The broadcast starts at 11:35 this morning on News from the Center, WRJN and Racine, Oshkosh Air Support, and 98Q Country in Park Falls, all those stations on the Civic Media Radio Network that cover sports for you so well throughout the day, throughout the course of the year. It's about 6:14 right now. Let's talk just a little bit about some of the results from last night. Like I said, it was truly a mixed bag of results. And I'm going to start by saying that the mayor's race in Wausau continues a depressingly familiar cycle where progressives solve problems, then they get criticized for what it costs to solve those problems. Conservatives promise to spend less money. They then get elected. They typically do a poor job addressing problems or don't address them at all. Then progressives come back in to fix them, which costs money, and then they get dinged in the next election, and so on and so on. So Katie Rosenberg, despite four admirable years in helping the city face one of its biggest crises of our time, was unseated by a 52-48 margin to Doug Dinney in the mayor's race. In the Milwaukee Public Schools referendum, that measure passed 51-49. Other measures passed, like here in Chippewa Falls. But in many smaller communities, their schools now face some terrible cuts after their neighbors rejected pleas for help, not to engage in any new major projects, but simply to continue the cost of operations after over a decade of being choked by a Republican-led legislature. So now we wait and see what the next legislature will do and see if they'll do right by public education in this state. Now, people will say that there were a noteworthy number of votes in the Democratic presidential primary that were not cast for Joe Biden. I would kindly remind people that about double that number voted in the Republican presidential primary for anyone other than Donald Trump. He does not have serious levels of support in this state. All national polling shows it to be basically a toss-up at 46-46 right now. But again, 46-46 only gets you to 92. there's probably not 8% that's going to go third party or independent or something else. So that number is very much in play. And as Greg mentioned with the Kenosha School District, or in the Kenosha area, where one county board seat was decided by one vote, your votes are really going to count in this presidential race and everything else. The proposed constitutional amendments passed, which again only underscores the need for what we do at Up North News and at Civic Media, and that is to inform people to look beyond just the surface talking points. That when people are talking about, you know, Zuckerbucks and private money, you know, what does that mean? And we're able to explain to our listeners and to our readers exactly what that means. And again, how the legislature is underfunding the cost to hold a competent election. But clearly that's a message that still needs to get out to more people. And in fact, I think when we talk to Melissa Baldoff in a bit, we're going to say the same thing about the Inflation Reduction Act, which is going to make tremendous investments in energy efficiency. It's going to lower people's household bills. It's going to be better for the climate. But the number of people who are aware of the Inflation Reduction Act and what it does is still far too low. And when people, you know, who are supporters of President Biden say, how are more people not aware of all of the good things that got passed in the first half of his term and the good that it's going to do to people? That's a fair question. That's a question that the president's campaign team is going to have to work on. And Melissa's going to tell us more about how some of that work has got to be done, knocking on one door at a time to let people know about the benefits that are out there that one side has been working toward on your behalf. Unfortunately, however, we've got to deal with people, including the former president, who are making, I can't even call them, shameful would be almost a compliment of how to describe the things that Donald Trump said yesterday, first in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and then here in Green Bay last evening. So coming up in just a moment, we'll play some of his remarks, false as they may be or ugly as they may be, because then we're also going to hear from a couple of folks who attended Trump's rally in Green Bay. And again, when you hear what they have to say, it comes back to my original question. Do you appreciate how much work needs to be done between now and November 5th? We'll cover that. So much more yet ahead on this Wednesday morning, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin. When you're here, you're up north. Back in a bit, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. The number one song this day in 1961 by the Marcells. More coming up in today's history lesson about a half hour from now. If you want to reach us, the phone number is 855-75-CIVIC. Again, 855-75-CIVIC. You can call it. You can text it. You can put comments on our Facebook page where you can watch us do the show live. Always great to hear from you from wherever you're listening around Wisconsin on this Wednesday morning. The Up North News Daily newsletter comes out about 5 a.m. every day, and Christina Laurie puts that together for us. And in today's, I was just scrolling through today's right now, we've got some takeaways from spring election results. We've got 11 Wisconsin schools that dominate national rankings in some form or another. And then a commentary from me on what's next now that this spring presidential primary, spring general election is over. A reminder that we're not on pause till next November. There will be a primary election in August for the November ballot. That will include places like the 3rd Congressional District in western and central Wisconsin, where there currently are three Democratic candidates seeking to challenge Republican Derek Van Orden. Who will be that nominee? It depends on who shows up to the polls coming up this August. So be aware of that, and be aware that, again, if you think you're going to forget about the August primary, then go ahead and apply now to get absentee ballots sent to you for the August and November elections. Go to myvote.wi.gov, and you'll find out the option to have that happen for you. Before I get to Trump, let me revisit again the the Wausau mayor's race, where Katie Rosenberg was upset by Doug Denny, a city council member. And I've already stated, you know, basically, again, how the cycle works with, you know, progressive versus conservative leadership. But I can't let it go without as well making note of some of the other things that were said during the race. There's, for example, State Senator Corey Tomchek, the person who is trying to sue a news outlet out of business, despite, you know, his lawsuit being thrown out of court. He's continuing to appeal and rack up legal costs, trying to draw the Wausau Pilot and Review out of business. He also said recently that Katie Rosenberg, the mayor, should be an actress because she's, quote, always so emotional. And that's the kind of rhetoric that we've been putting up with for far too long. But there's also this from the chairman of the state Republican Party, Brian Schimming, who said, congratulations to Republican-backed Doug Denny on his triumph in the Wausau mayoral election. His stunning victory over incumbent mayor Katie Rosenberg marks an unmistakable repudiation of failed Democrat policies and is a win for central Wisconsin values. Never minding the, you know, attempt to make Democrat a pejorative of Democratic if you refuse to use the correct word. But again, what we're saying here is the weight of the Wisconsin Republican Party getting involved in mayoral elections and school board elections and other elections that for all of our lifetime had been nonpartisan. People will say, well, Democratic parties are involved. They are now. They are now because for several cycles past, everybody looked askance at the Republicans and said, you're not supposed to be involved in this. And finally, enough Democratic parties at the state and county level said, okay, I guess this is how we're doing this now. And so these races have become partisan, and the amount of outside dark money that came in through Republican circles to smear Katie Rosenberg is rather telling. But it took that much of an effort to convince just enough voters to go in a different direction in that 52-48 race. There was equally sleazy behavior down in Milwaukee, where in one case, a landlord sent an email to all of his tenants threatening a rent hike if the Milwaukee Public School referendum were to pass. Now, while that's not patently illegal, you know, it's illegal for an employer to dictate to an employee how to vote or to threaten their job, you know, if they don't vote a certain way, it's not illegal for a landlord to send an email like this threatening rent increases if, you know, if they happen to support a referendum, or maybe in the future it'll be a candidate that they don't like. These are the kinds of things that, again, should be called out. Even if they're not illegal, they're certainly wrong, and people should call attention to it and, you know, let others know that we're better than that in this country. Well, at least we should be. Which brings us to the former president. Here's a couple of things that he had to say yesterday in Michigan. These audio clips are from Michigan, but he said many of the same things a couple of hours later in Green Bay. Here's him basically making a threat in Michigan that if he doesn't win, that there's not going to be any more elections in the United States.
Because if we don't win on November 5th, I think our country is going to cease to exist. It could be the last election we ever have. I actually mean that. We don't win. I think this could be the last election we ever have. That's where our country's going.
Now,
because
this
if we
is
don't
what,
win on November 5th, I think our country is...
This is what he's saying. He's saying to his supporters, you go ahead and engage in violence after November 5th if I don't win. That's what that is. That is a flat-out encouragement, appealing to a subset of people who... Just listen to this next comment. And again, we're talking about a country that desperately needs immigration reform. And there was a chance to get it, and Donald Trump killed it because he still wants to use rhetoric like this when describing migrants.
The Democrats say, please don't call them animals. They're humans. I said, no, they're not humans. They're not humans. They're animals.
They're not humans. They're animals. That's where fascism starts to lay an anchor and build a foundation, if we listen to words like that. But of course, closer to home, as people gave their pregame addresses prior to Trump's appearance in Green Bay, you get comments like this by Congressman Tom Tiffany.
In Joe Biden's America, he has a Department of Agriculture that has a... they have an agency, the Civil Rights, Diversity, and Inclusion Agency. You know, I think back to when I was a kid growing up on the farm. Diversity used to mean when we'd have Jerseys and Guernseys along with our Holsteins. I remember
there.
Inclusion
there.
Used to be...
Right in there, in that soundbite right there, is the ugliness of somebody who's grown up amongst nothing but white people, who sees that anybody else is different, and for him, diversity isn't something to be celebrated and to be encouraged, but to be compared to farm animals. That's Tom Tiffany. And you heard all those people booing with a mindset that has to be addressed, because right now they think that they are victims, because people that were underrepresented and repressed for generations are suddenly not being so oppressed any longer. And I'll play one clip about somebody talking about their 401k at the rally. This is why they supported Trump, and you'll have to forgive there's some wind noise in the middle of it, but give a listen to this.
Who's the only person who can continue to allow us to buy gas-powered cars in 2032?
No, I'm sorry. That's Glenn Grothman. We'll get to it in another segment where somebody talks about how their 401k has still not recovered from the post-COVID recession, and that somehow that's Joe Biden's fault. Folks, we've got the best economy in the world that had a comeback from the pandemic recession. Best in the world. Not perfect, still room to grow, but if your 401k hasn't made it back then, you need to talk to your money manager, because we're at a stock market that's been at all-time highs for weeks, if not months. But again, if Donald Trump tells enough people the economy's bad and migrants are animals, too many folks, sadly, are going to believe these untrue things to be true. Our climate check is next. You're up north. And when I look, the moon at that. It's electric. And we're back now on Up North News Radio with our friend Melissa Baldoff, who gives us our weekly climate check, talking about more visits to Wisconsin from VIPs and using climate and energy and savings on your home budget as the foundation of this week's visit. Melissa, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How about you?
Very good. Thanks. Now, of course, we all know Wisconsin is this very pivotal state in the presidential election. You've certainly seen it from the Biden campaign with all the visits by the president, the vice president, the first lady, cabinet officers. Biden's coming back to Wisconsin next week, Monday. But his energy secretary was in the state recently, and that's what we're going to focus on today because, again, from a pocketbook standpoint, there's a lot that the administration has done. And yet, as we seem to say quite regularly, Melissa, it's like they can't do too much when it comes to promoting the Inflation Reduction Act and the way that it is saving people money.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this is something where I think we're just going to continue to see good news and positive news as people understand more about the savings that are available and start to realize those savings. Because, you know, I think in the past and even still, right, you know, I think there are any number of people who want to make choices that are good for the environment, that are, you know, going to help transition to that clean energy economy, but costs can be prohibitive, right? You know, it's not always easy and accessible to do the thing that you know is the right thing and that the thing is that you want to do. These are decisions that come down to a family's bottom line. And what we're seeing with the Inflation Reduction Act is it makes it so much easier for families and small businesses, for schools, for any number of entities to make those environmentally smart decisions without hurting their bottom line and without it being, you know, economically prohibitive.
Yeah, the last time around that we talked about this, we talked about things being done at the utility level scale, and that utilities were going to be using union labor for some of these big projects in terms of energy generation and distribution. So now we're coming back down to the, by and large, the household level or maybe the small business level. And I would recommend for folks, there's an article in the Wisconsin Examiner that really takes the Energy Secretary, former Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm, and her two-day tour around Wisconsin. And it included Governor Tony Evers and Congressman Mark Pocan accompanying her. And in one case, visiting a home where, again, new windows, not the sexiest thing, but a massive savings on your energy bill? That's sexy, Melissa.
It is. And, we replaced our windows not that long ago, last year, and have definitely seen, no, it's 2 years ago now, and have definitely seen that we're experiencing a reduction in energy costs. So I think that is something that people feel. Absolutely. It's difficult and at this time of year to open up the utility bill or pay it online, however people do it. And you see that number, and anything you can do to bring that number down is really important. And I really appreciated Secretary Granholm, talking about this, the summer of rebates coming up. And I think that's a really smart way to think about it. This is going to be money that is coming back to people in Wisconsin and across the country. They're going to be, replacing windows, updating their appliances, all kinds of things that are going to help them save a lot of money on those energy bills.
Yeah, the secretary, according to the article here, she name-checked several manufacturers of wind turbines, battery components, heat pump compressors. They're all going to benefit from provisions in the Inflation Reduction Act, the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, and more. But then there was this roundtable with seven manufacturing companies that produce products that are likely to qualify for those federal rebates that you talked about to be offered later this year from the Inflation Reduction Act and provided to homeowners who replace existing home appliances with cleaner, energy equipment. And this one particular homeowner saw when the energy efficient windows were done, a utility bill that went from nearly $400 a month for January a year ago down to $149 this past March. And, while, again, any one person's example may not be typical, I think it is pretty easy to say that for many homeowners, it's probably worth examining what these rebates are and seeing if it doesn't jumpstart some overdue work around the house.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Weatherizing, it's, up to about 30% savings. And then same thing under the Inflation Reduction Act, 30% off when you get tax credits for solar, 30% savings to buy an EV charger for your home, $7,500 if you want to buy an EV, $4,000 if you buy a used EV. So this is, this is real money for people that is going to make a difference. And it's that, I think that having these conversations at that really, granular level is so important, because when we hear things at the, that big macro level, we've talked about these huge investments, and we know that the IRA is, this generational investment. This is the biggest ever investment in climate action to give us this, net zero future. But those numbers, $9 billion in federal government rebates, that can just sound so out of reach, I think, to people. And they think, well, what is it actually going to mean for me? And so often I feel like people can get a little bit lost in that, right? And it's hard to imagine how you benefit from that. Maybe people assume, well, this is going to help big businesses. This is going to help people, with really expensive homes. This is going to help kind of the, what we've seen, what we saw under the former guy and what we've seen in the past under Republican leadership, that the relief is going to the folks at the very top and to the people who least need it. And what I think is so smart and special about the way this has been structured is that this is going to help everybody. And when we have these kinds of conversations, when you have somebody like Secretary Granholm come to Wisconsin and meet with, real people about how this is impacting them, I think knowing somebody, cut their utility bill by more than half from some of this is a lot more impactful than just hearing $9 billion. Because to me, that's so much more relatable to know what it feels like and what the impact is on that, you know, individual level.
I think as well, from a political standpoint, I won't say it puts to bed, the talking point, but certainly sets it back that, anything that's done from a green energy standpoint is very expensive, and that you don't make it back, or that it's, punitive. We hear Republicans talking about, oh, your stove is going to be outlawed, and your lawnmower is going to be outlawed, and your car is going to be outlawed. And it's silly. And the alternative is to actually show real world examples of where these kinds of investments by the public sector pay off for taxpayers in their utility bills and overall costs.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, another thing that, kind of stood out to me in, reading about and, checking out on the news about this visit and learning more about what happened in this conversation was, our friends with Wisconsin conservation voters who have been on, we've had guests before come on to talk about their work advocating for the Inflation Reduction Act. And, we had Jen Giedrich on a while ago talking about their advocacy campaign going door to door to talk about the IRA. And so, we got a little bit of a readout from them with the secretary's visit about what those conversations looked like. So they knocked on 76,000 doors last fall. They're about to kick off another 100,000. And some of their takeaways are that only about one third of the residents that their canvassers spoke to had heard of the Inflation Reduction Act. But when they heard about the provisions about the rebates, the tax credits, the technology that will save energy and reduce emissions, the support was through the roof. More than 70% of people said they liked what they heard. And that's, across the political spectrum. Didn't matter if they were Republicans or Democrats. They liked the idea of saving money and protecting the environment. The other thing they learned is that the people who were already informed about the IRA were ready to do more. They were excited to do more, to think about how they could use those programs if they hadn't already, and how they could go about getting more credits and rebates. So I think that really underscores why it's important that we continue to have people like Secretary Granholm coming through Wisconsin, keep advocating for the IRA, because when people know about it, they really like it. Much like the Affordable Care Act, right?
I was just going to say that the parallels are striking in that you do have to explain to folks what these things are, because it is so much easier to trash something, to just say the Affordable Care Act is bad, it's socialism or whatever, and the Inflation Reduction Act, spends all this money. And if you just leave it at that, people are going to go, okay. But when they actually learn what's in these things, they see what good policy is. We always talk about the difference between politics and policy. Politics is, a necessity, but at the bottom line, you should be passing good policy. And if that's what has to be done, that, folks with Wisconsin conservation voters have to knock on 100 or 200,000 doors to get the word out, well, it might be frustrating, but in the end, it's going to pay off.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, I think that the IRA and our clean energy economy are going to continue to be at the forefront of some of these conversations that are happening as we see these, campaigns go on. I think that this will be something that President Biden and Vice President Harris and their, surrogates are going to talk about when they come to Wisconsin and when they go to other states. And knowing that the more people hear about it, the more they like it. I think it's a great message for them. I think it's a great thing for people to hear about. And I think we'll continue to have these conversations over the, next, 7 months until the election.
Now, there was another part of Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm's visit, and it was to the Milwaukee area, and talking about part of the Biden administration's energy plan, which gives financial incentives to clean energy companies that locate in economically disadvantaged areas, pay the prevailing wage, and meet some other requirements. And again, you see the attention to detail that if you're just looking at the politics, somebody's going to go, oh, this is DEI, this is CRT, this is, you know, whatever. No, this is when you invest in communities where, you know, the government has not incentivized investments, you can actually turn around economic fortunes. And that's what they're looking to see happen with programs like this.
Yes, absolutely. And I think, too, this is another example of the way that the Biden administration is listening to people in the states, in the communities who are on the ground doing this work, and helping to, you know, take that information and use it to shape the way that programs are administered. You know, that's also something that we saw from, you know, the Focus on Energy program here in Wisconsin, soliciting feedback. So you've got people like Antonio Butts at Walnut Way, and his organization has done a lot of work over the years to educate, to organize, to really build community. And I think that they have, you know, just a vitally important perspective on how to make these programs accessible and make them successful. So I really appreciate knowing that, you know, the Biden administration and the Evers administration are listening to people who are the experts on the ground, because that's going to make these programs that much more effective.
For more about the actual visit, I would point folks to WUWM Radio out of Milwaukee for their coverage of it, or go to energy.gov and learn more from a Biden administration standpoint about the things that are out there and the things that are available. Melissa Baldoff, thank you so much again. Have a great week. Talk to you soon.
Thanks. All right, bye.
When we come back, we're going to have today's history lesson and more on this Wednesday morning. Coming up next, you're up north. Happy birthday, Tony Orlando.
Stars won't come out if they know that you're about.
How can you be mad and listen to this music?
You can't. It's Tony Orlando and Dawn. Melissa Kay joins us from a locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids. Melissa, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Oh, great.
Oh, see? That's the magic of Tony Orlando, who turns 80 years old today. He was born Michael Anthony Orlando Cassavetes in the Hell's Kitchen neighborhood of New York City. He had a big hit in 1961 as a teenager, and then nothing happened for years and years after that. 1970, he was asked to record some vocals for this song, Candida, because the original singer didn't work out. It became a hit. And then it went on from there. I remember watching the Tony Orlando and Dawn variety. Everybody had a variety show back then.
Yes. You know,
Sonny and Cher and all the others. And that was just good, clean fun. You know, Donnie and Marie, you know, who was it? The Hanson brothers?
No. Oh, you mean the hockey players?
Not the hockey players. No.
Not Hanson and Bob.
And not Hanson and Bob. It must have been the McKeens. I don't know. You know, time takes care of a lot
Melissa,
of these things.
Melissa, we lost him.
Yep, he's gone down the early 70s variety show rabbit hole once again.
Weren't a lot of them siblings, too?
Yes, you know, especially, say, your Donnie and Marie and your other family groups, you know. Mm-hmm.
The Bradys.
The Brady
Anderson sisters.
Oh, the Bradys. They tried having a few songs. They had a variety show. It was... They don't all work, folks. They just don't all work.
No,
Jane Goodall is 90 years old today. Actor Alec Baldwin is 66. And here was the number one song this day in 1971 by The Temptations.
But it was just my imagination. Running away with me.
Well, that sounds about right for somebody whose imagination about... early 70s TV seems to be running away. On this day in 1995, the Real Audio Player is introduced, allowing users to stream audio over the internet for the first time. I remember getting one of those first Real Audio players and setups, and you felt like a wizard downloading music off the internet for the first time. It was just and now even that sounds like grandpa talking. There's young people that, you know, have no concept that there was once a time where there wasn't streaming of music on the internet.
Remember Napster?
Napster, of course.
Sorry, I was a LimeWire home. Thank you very much.
Oh, LimeWire. Sorry. But didn't it feel like, you know, kind of naughty?
Felt like bored? Stealing.
Yeah.
Because like, it was.
Because it was. It was. It was, exactly. On this day in 2000, in the court case United States versus Microsoft, Microsoft was ruled to have violated antitrust law by keeping an oppressive thumb on its competitors. You see, it can be done. Maybe it needs to be done again. Uh-huh. And on this day in 2010, Apple released the first generation iPad. Remember when the iPads first came out? I mean, those were just so cool.
I couldn't wait to get out of my price range. When he pulled them out, he's like, "This is the iPad." I'm like, first of all, terrible name, getting it made fun of. Second of all, what are we doing, Steve? We don't have to do everything. I was a huge Apple fan at the time, and I was just, I was very, very skeptical of the iPad. Boy,
what I see now is that pretty much nearly every news anchor has one in front of them. I don't think I could do that. I would, because I'd be afraid I'd lose my place, or that it would, you know, crap out, much like my computer this morning took forever to fire up because it did a software. You know, you're right in the middle of reading a news story and it gets software update, you know, reloading and 3-2. I need the paper scripts.
At the home opener yesterday, they had a four-person string quartet play the national anthem, which, by the way, kind of underwhelming on the rock and home opener of it all.
Yeah, but it really was.
But three of them were using iPads for their sheet music.
Oh, yeah. Yep. It's very
popular.
Yeah,
you see it all the time.
Yep. Let's see. Another birthday today. Wayne Newton, 82 years old today. Wow. He was a lot younger when he had hits like this one.
Melissa, what's the first thing you think of?
Darker shame, darling, darker shame.
Oh, see, she did not watch Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh, okay. Pat steals for the victory.
On this day in 1860, the first successful Pony Express run from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California.
Pat, you were there for that, right? How was that?
I was, yes. I recall. And a postcard costs a penny. And one more birthday. Happy 63rd birthday to Eddie Murphy. And you're like, well, wait, what are you going to do? Play a comedy clip from Saturday Night Live?
Oh, no.
He charted with a single as well, one of the most forgettable of all time, but let's get it stuck in your head yet again.
Oh no.
She wants to what? Yes, a lyrical triumph from Eddie Murphy.
If you would like to
party all the time, party all the time.
If you want to shake off the doldrums of the election, go to YouTube and watch the video for this song. It has a blonde, curly-haired Rick James in it.
Ooh. Oh my!
It is awful and wonderful.
Yeah, it was. That was true 80s excess. I was. The news on, I think, WAQE in Rice Lake at the time, which also meant you were kind of the DJ for the 5 a.m. hour as you were putting all your newscasts together.
Yeah.
And that thing would come up at, you know, 5:20 in the morning. And you're just thinking, A, this is terrible. And B, it's even worse during the 5 a.m. hour. Has no place here. But it is what we got. Today is World Cloud Security Day. I assume that's a computer thing and not related to precipitation or anything. This is National Chocolate Mousse Day, which again remains inferior to French silk. Fight me. This is National Japanese Fan Dance Day, National Film Score Day, National Tweed Day. Wouldn't that be an autumn thing when people wear like their tweed jackets, things like that? Do you have anything maybe. Tweed, Melissa?
My natural hair color is tweed.
Okay.
Pat, you strike me as the kind of guy who has a tweed jacket.
I have had a tweed jacket in the past. Yes, I have. Right. You know,
I'd have a pair of pants. I would categorize as tweed.
There you go. And I'd specifically go down to the UW Eau Claire campus just to walk around in my tweed jacket in the fall with the patches on the elbows. This is National Paraprofessional Appreciation Day and National Walking Day. So you know,
get out there and trounce around in the snow.
Yep. Look at that. I left you all of 15 seconds to tell us what's new on locally grown radio. What should we be listening for?
Well, we had election coverage last night, and Wisconsin Rapids elected a new mayor, Matt Zacher. And I was up all night, so I don't have much else.
We're all a little, yeah, there's not a lot left in the tank there. Well, enjoy things, Melissa. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
When we come back, Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski will be here. And later, our homeroom segment talks about the school referendums that did and didn't pass around the state. Back after this, you're up north.